The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So can we just talk about what happened early this morning in the wee hours of the morning while all of you were nestled in your bed, snuggling your My Pillows, before you even got up and put on your My Slippers, which you can purchase at MyPillow.com/starts. I'm just kidding. This is not a My Pillow ad. But I'm just really curious. If I'm the only one who was a little weirded out, creeped out by this whole Barack and Michelle Hussein Obama endorsement of Kamala Harris early this morning. There's just something off about this entire thing, and we're going to talk about it this morning. By the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is Friday. Of course, this is Open Line Friday, and that means we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Our telephone number, and write this down. You will need this if you want to call in today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I also have a question. I know I shouldn't ask this question. I am going to get so much hate mail. And I know, you know what's going to happen, Ben Dieter? Right now, we have all of these really creepy dudes. And they live in their parents' basement and they monitor talk radio programs like mine. And we have a couple that are actually assigned. I believe Media Matters and Mediaite. And a couple of the other far leftist groups, Human Rights Campaign and Right Wing Watch, they hire these guys, and a lot of them, and I mean no disrespect here, but a lot of them typically become mass shooters, or they do horrible things that get them prison time.
They fit the stereotype.
They've got the oily skin, pimples, and the hair that's just matted down, and their fingers are forever stained by Cheeto dust. You know the type.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got like little nuggets and morsels of food and you lodged in their keyboards, and that's their only job. They actually get paid to listen to this radio program. Mm. Maybe I shouldn't say bad things about them, because they do add to the millions of people that listen to this program every day.
It's why you're one of the best.
Well, this is true. So all that to say, Dieter, I'm not sure if I should say what I'm about to say, because people are going to, oh, there goes Starnes. I knew he was Alex Jones. I knew he was Tucker Carlson. I knew he was Joe Rogan. Okay, what's wrong with those guys? So here it is. I had no idea that COVID caused you to grow, right? Have you seen the photographs of Joe Biden coming out of the White House and in the White House after the alleged remarks that he allegedly delivered from the oral Oval Office? Pardon me. Thought it was back in the Clinton campaign. He's grown. He's like grown about 4 or 5 inches, it looks like, since the last time we saw him. And a lot of people are wondering, was that really Joe Biden? Or was it a stunt double, a stand-in? You know they have those.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the movie Dave? It's a great movie, and it's about a president who has a stroke and is incapacitated, and they find a lookalike to run the country, and the fake Dave does a better job than the real president. So anyway, it's called Dave. I would encourage you to watch the movie, because it is frighteningly realistic what's happening in Washington, D.C. I'm just wondering, is it just me, or have you noticed that the president looks a little bit taller and his face looks a little bit weird?
Well, not only that, where is the president? Where'd he go?
We don't know.
What was the 11-minute speech telling us? Was that his farewell to the nation forever?
We don't know. And I mean, the guy's still on the payroll. And when you look at the family, the first family, it looked like they were at a wake when, you know, the photographs of what was happening in the oral Oval Office. I keep thinking going back to Clinton. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm just kind of, I don't know. We don't know where Biden is. I don't know. I'm assuming he's alive. I don't know. Where is he? I'm just asking. So anyway, I want to go back. Don't get me sidetracked, Dieter. I want to go back to this weird thing that happened in the wee hours of the morning, and I have a theory about all of this. So this is Barack Hussein and Big Mike talking to Kamala earlier today. Cut number one.
Kamala.
Hello. Hi.
Hey there.
Hey, Big Mike.
Aw, hi, you're both together. Oh, it's good to hear you both.
I can't have this phone call without saying to my girl Kamala, I am proud of you. This is going to be historic.
We called to say Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office.
Oh, my goodness. Michelle, Barack, this means so much to me. I am looking forward to doing this with the two of you, Doug and I both. And getting out there, being on the road. But most of all, I just want to tell you the words you have spoken and the friendship that you have given over all these years mean more than I can express. So thank you both. It means so much. And we're going to have some fun with this too, aren't we?
Oh, we're going to have some fun. Was that cringy? First of all, is that normally how a conversation goes? It just sounds like the whole thing was scripted, or maybe were those really the voices of Barack Hussein and Big Mike? I don't know. But it's just kind of weird because just a few days ago, the New York Post was reporting that people within Barack's inner circle were very concerned that Kamala Harris was not going to be able to beat Donald Trump. It wasn't going to happen. So one of two things is going on here. First of all, oh, by the way, and then I want to play this. Hold on. I want to play this as well. This is very important. So James Carville. You talking about me, Todd? Howdy. Howdy from New Orleans. I hate Donald J. Trump. So that's James Carville. So James Carville, who is very powerful within the Democrat Party. You darn tootin', I'm important. He really is. And in spite of all the chaos that you see on the screen, this guy is a political guru. And he was behind Bill Clinton's election. And when you look at the bimbo eruptions around Clinton, and he was still able to get elected, it's because of James Carville. So Carville knows what he's talking about here. Cut number two.
I'm telling you, this is the best day that she's going to have for the rest of the campaign. They're coming. And they're coming but they were bad. They were confused, but they're getting unconfused now. Mm-hmm. And Democrats have got to get ready. I hope she can get her campaign, get an operation. You know, it's hard to, you just don't get in one of these things and turn the key on and it works. And, you know, they're having a lot of decisions they got to make, and they're coming in fast, and they're starting brutal attacks.
So Carville says Harris's best days of the campaign are already behind her. She just got started. That's brutal. All that to say, there's something else going on here, and I just want to posit two theories. Theory number one is that Barack Hussein and BM know that Kamala's doomed. So they see the writing on the wall. They're going to go ahead and throw in and do their part and say, well, look, you know, we were team players here. It's not our fault. And Kamala goes down in a blaze of unglory. And I say that because of a new Rasmussen poll that is out. And this is fascinating. Rasmussen, their 2024 election forecast, they've got Donald Trump beating Kamala Harris 62% to 35%. That is a massive landslide blowout. But Todd, what about the media? They're really being mean to Donald right now. What about that? I am really worried. No, don't worry. Don't worry. This is all baked into the cake. We knew what was going to happen. We knew that a lot of the polling data out there was going to be looking pretty good for Kamala. I mean, we didn't anticipate the Rasmussen poll. But all the other polls out there show that she's getting a little bit of a bump, but it's not a great big bump. And the bigger problem is that she's not getting a big bump from black voters. And that's what they're counting on right now. Right now, they're in the middle of a huge campaign to try to convince you that Kamala Harris is like Aunt Jemima. I mean, they want you. She is out there trying to bolster up her black bona fides. I mean, do not be surprised if Kamala is hosting a Madea Film Festival by the time it's all said and done. And I you say, Todd, you have really stepped in it now. I'm going to call the NAACP on you. All right. I'm just saying here, just you got to bear with me. I know of what I speak. So there has been a series of conversations surrounding collard greens. Now, everybody knows that I am an aficionado of Southern food. It's the food of my childhood, and I know my way around some fried chicken and sweet tea and biscuits, and dare I say I've had my fair share of pot liquor, and it is mighty tasty. So all that to say, it's part of my upbringing. So when I talk about, you know, hey, I love going out there and I love, you know, eating fried chicken and collard greens, what does that mean, Ben Dieter, when I tell people that yours truly, I go out there and I eat fried chicken and collard greens, would you believe that statement?
Yes. Have they read the Daily Biscuit?
Have you seen a picture of me?
I mean, Todd loves a biscuit.
I do. Mm-hmm. Or two. And I love a little bit of butter on that biscuit. And all that to say that when Kamala Harris says, oh, I just love eating my collard greens, I don't think people believe that. I really don't. And so anyway, over the past, 48 hours, she's been recorded doing interviews about cooking her collard greens and going into a record store and buying all of this black music. I mean, she is, we don't even know. She may have some hot sauce in her purse like Hillary Clinton did. But you think I'm making this up? Cut number 12, please.
All right, Marlon, so I know how to make a mean collard greens. In fact, people used to ask me to make greens for them for Christmas. One year, I had so many that I had to wash, and we ended up washing them in the bathtub. So I am not playing around. So what you got?
All right, so she's not playing around. Kamala said that she prepared her collard greens in the bathtub. So I just have a couple of questions, minor questions, but is this the bathtub where she bathes herself? I mean, was she washing her butt in the same bathtub that she was preparing the collard greens for the family Christmas dinner? That's so disgusting. Who does that? Now, she also talked about the black music. So this is Kamala coming out of a record store, a Cut 13. All right, so a lot of people pointed out, a lot of black people pointed out on social media, well, yeah, these are all great albums, but every legitimate black person in America already has those albums in their collection. So why didn't you have those albums in your collection, Kamala? What's going on here? So all that to say, she's trying to bolster her black street cred. And the reason why is that for most of her life, she did not identify as a black person. She identified as an Indian American. So all of that to say, and I'm getting around to this, back to Barack and BM here. I think they got snookered. They say that Barack is the smartest guy in the room. That's his whole, like, shtick. But I think Joe Biden pulled a fast one on Barack, and he didn't see it coming. I do believe that they went to Joe and said the following: if you do not step out of the race, we will invoke the 25th Amendment. So I do believe the president of the United States has been blackmailed. Was that Barack? Was that Kamala? We don't know. But he was told, this is what you're going to do. But what Joe did was take it a step further, because Joe can read the writing on the wall. Joe knew his days were numbered, right? So what did Joe do? Joe needed to figure out a way to stick it to Barack, because there is some bad blood between those guys, really bad blood. And by the way, Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden, she hates collard greens and she hates Kamala. And they despise them all now. They see them all as the enemy. So let me explain how I think this went down. Joe Biden, knowing how much they hated the Obamas, hate Kamala Harris. Joe Biden, knowing that Barack wanted Michelle in that race to save his legacy, which is in tatters. Joe Biden decided, you know what? I'm going to go out there and not only am I going to resign, but I'm going to immediately endorse Kamala Harris. And nobody saw it coming. Nobody saw it coming. And that's why it took everybody by surprise. Joe Biden got the last laugh on the Democrat Party, and he may have that one decision he made, that one announcement that nobody saw coming. I can guarantee you it could end up blowing up the entire party. And that's Joe Biden laughing all the way to the bank, if he's still alive. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, right now at this very moment, I just got word out of Mar-a-Lago that Benjamin Netanyahu showed up at the home of President Trump. And it was interesting. President Trump welcomed them at the front door. Joe Biden and all of his crew, they actually make them go in. The Jews have to go in the back of the White House. They're not allowed. They had to walk through the kitchen. They're not allowed to come into the front door. The Gentiles or the Muslims. But no, Donald Trump isn't like that. Donald Trump welcomed Netanyahu in with open arms. By the way, a lot of people already just infuriated over what Kamala Harris said yesterday, talking about how Israel, her plan for peace in the Middle East, Israel has to stop the war and we got to have the hostages. No, ma'am. That is not how it works. You either release the hostages or we will blow you to kingdom come. It really is that simple. Either release the hostages or we're going to keep bombing the living daylights out of you. And what was it that President Trump did back in the day? He showed the Iranian leaders, hey, look, we want to be peaceful here, but here's the deal. If you don't do what we tell you, we're gonna bomb your houses. And just in case they didn't believe him, he actually showed them satellite copies of their homes. And guess what happened? We had peace during the Trump years. We had no wars during the Trump years. Just want to point that out. All right, 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. We're going to get to your calls today. That's 901-260-5926. Want to remind all of our friends at KYKN, we are coming to town. We're going to have a terrific, terrific event coming up at the Bow and Vine Burger Bar. We want all of you to find information about that, and you can sign up. But tickets are limited, by the way. But you can get them at kykn.com. Again, that's kykn.com. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Open Line Friday. By the way, just one other thought about this Barack Obama and Michelle Obama thing. It was apparently recorded earlier in the week, and you know they said, "Oh, it was just spontaneous." Really? Well, if you look closely, you'll notice that Kamala Harris is actually mic'd up. So she was just spontaneously mic'd up and connected to a camera when Barack Obama and BM called. Really? 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 I don't know about that. So here's another thought. This thing was released in the wee hours of the morning, even though it was pre-taped earlier this week. Again, all allegedly. So my question is, why would you do that? Why would you miss the morning news cycle? Why would you release it in the early, early morning hours? Why would you do that? It's all very peculiar. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Let's start with Mark in the Villages. Hi, Mark. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I wanted to touch on two things. You know, the Democrats all say, when I get into office, I will help the black community. Obama nothing, Biden nothing, Harris will do the same. They use the black communities to get votes, and now look, they have flooded the black communities with illegals. And the same will happen with the illegals once they get into the get in. Their votes will dump they will dump them as well. The only president that keeps his word, or did keep his word, was Abraham Lincoln. That's my first one. I'll let you follow.
Well,
up on that
no, no, no. Yeah, hold on a second. Let me jump in here. Look. This is all part of a much grander and dangerous plan here, and we're going to play some audio. I'll try to get to this in a moment. There's some audio of Kamala Harris out there, and she is a flat-out Marxist communist. I mean, it's unbelievable, her belief system, and she's not afraid to put it all out there. So she's a very dangerous, you know, she's got this cackling, ditzy, broad kind of persona, but the woman is evil. And this is a very dangerous thing. The reason they're bringing all of those folks and flooding our nation with these illegals is to get their votes. But it's not for the illegals to go out and vote on Election Day. They're going to be ballot harvesting. They're going to be filling out all of these ballots for the illegals, many of them getting the fake Social Security numbers, the whole nine yards, Mark. It is an ugly, ugly thing. And if not this election cycle, the next, eventually, they will have enough illegals in this country to turn us into a Marxist country. And by the way, that's why I wrote Twilight's Last Gleaming, to warn people, here's what's coming. We can save the country, but you got to fight back. All right, finish your second thought there, Mark.
Well, real quick here, too. She's getting endorsed by Soros' son, too, I heard today. I read that somewhere, too. But my other thing was, they're making this country a laughing stock for other countries to see. Putting Harris and Buttigieg or whoever else in will be watching a new Laurel and Hardy show. They are complete clowns. They kick out Biden, then they put Harris in. God only knows who the VP will be. Then they could be. They could also be behind Trump's assassination. This is like watching the Ripley's Believe It or Not. No other country is even taking us serious. This administration and those votes, they're just off their rockers, Todd. They're off their rockers. They're making a total joke of this country. This country is a complete laughingstock of other countries, China, North Korea. It's just a complete joke.
But, Mark, I'm going to tell you who's the greatest offender here, and that would be the legacy media. They're the ones that are responsible. They are the literal propaganda arm of these Marxists. And I want to play some audio here. This is the FBI director, Chris Wray, who needs to be fired. Now Chris Wray is out there saying, we don't think Trump was shot after all. Don't believe your lying eyes. Cut 17.
Where did all 8 bullets go is, I guess, my question.
I don't have that in front of me. I'm happy to circle back and get that to you. It's assuming we have that information yet. As I said, I think with respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that, you know, that hit his ear. So it's conceivable, although, as I sit here right now, I don't know whether that bullet, in addition to, you know, causing the grazing, could have also landed somewhere else. But I believe we've accounted for all of the shots and the cartridges. So let us get that.
It's my understanding that the very first one was the one that hit the president. Is that the very first shot, or is that not accurate?
As I sit here right now, I don't know the answer to that. I believe we know the answer to that. I just don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
All right. So that was from yesterday's hearing up on Capitol Hill. So Chris Wray, the FBI, the deep state, doing exactly what they do. They want you to think that this is all make-believe, that Trump was not the target of an assassination attempt, right? So that there you go. But this has been out there for a couple of weeks now. Here is Joyless Reed, cut 18.
We still don't know for sure whether Donald Trump was hit by a bullet, whether he was hit by glass fragments, whether he was hit by shrapnel. We don't have those details. We actually have no details from his physician, even though this man is still a Secret Service protected, you know, and presidential candidate. We knew almost nothing. Why? Why don't we know that much? We know that 3 people were shot. 1 person, unfortunately, was killed at the rally. We don't know where they were sitting or standing relative to him. We don't know why, for 9 full seconds, Donald Trump was allowed to stand back up during an active shooting, an active shooter situation, even though they, at that point, had said the shooter was down. How would have they know? How would they have known if there were more shooters or not? Nobody knew that there could have been 5 shooters for all they knew. Yet they allowed him to stand up in the middle of that, you know, crisis and pose for a photo and fist pump the air so he could get the iconic photo. And then they allowed him to stand up again outside of the SUV instead of just shoving him into the SUV. That seems really unusual. What is the actual injury to Donald Trump's ear that's under that bandage? Shouldn't we know that by now? It's weird.
And okay, stop. All right, so look, it goes on and on and on and on and on. And the whole thing here, folks, is this, and understand this. Every single person in the media is going to be turning on Trump now, and they want to convince you that nothing really happened to Donald Trump. That's what they want, that it's all make-believe, that it was catch-up. Literally, I heard someone on one of the major networks saying, oh, well, the reason why they had him down is they had a bottle of Heinz ketchup and they were smearing the Folks, you can't make this up. These people are delusional. They're sick. And what you need to start doing is turning off these channels. You need to stop subscribing to these newspapers. And you need to start listening to talk radio, where at least you're going to get fair and balanced coverage of all this nonsense. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Mike, WLOB in Maine. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
Cut the cord to these guys. You're right. Listen, the reason I called is you have a big following up here on WLOB, especially after your friend Ray Richardson. But I'll tell you, we're in for the fight of our life if this woman gets into the Oval Office up here in Maine.
How so, Mike? What's going on in Maine? What's the deal?
Well, we're up here fighting to save the lobster industry and the fishing industry in the state of Maine. They're doing this confounded windmill out here in our Gulf. claim, you know, they claimed for years that the lobstermen were the ones that were hurting the right whales. They have no clue what this is going to do to the. I don't think the citizens of Maine realize it's going to take 20 cooling stations out there to cool the water down from these windmills and the cables going back in the land. It's going to change everything for the habitat under the water that they're supposedly so worried about. And if you look at Martha's Vineyard, where all these windmills are falling apart, and it's all washed, it couldn't wash up in a better place, but it's all falling apart down at Martha's, you know, down in Cape Cod. And this is the same thing they're going to try to put through in the state of Maine.
And to your point, Mike, and let me bring in folks who may not be aware of what's going on there in Maine. This is a huge issue. They're wanting to erect these floating wind turbines off the coast. And my understanding is this area is pretty close to where 75% of your lobster fishing actually happens. Is that right?
Exactly. You know, we just won a big one with the Supreme Court with Chevron, so we can start back in NOAA office. So, you know, they've actually tracked, the lobstermen now have to have a tracker on their boat. So we're going to beat all that stuff now that we have Chevron on our side. But if this woman gets in office, she is so radical into the climate change cult that this is going to make I'll tell you, it'll wipe out Chevron decision. You think they're going to pay attention to a decision from the Supreme Court? They don't now. And she sure as hell won't. Mm. So I want the people of Maine to wake up. And, you know, this is your coast they're trying to destroy.
And elections have consequences. I know your governor, she's a radical Democrat. She supports this nonsense. And I think all of us who love lobsters ought to be very concerned about this.
Yeah, and it's not just the lobster. It's, you know, it's the cod. It's the fishing offshore, too.
Dear God.
And so anybody that wants to help us up here can go to the New England Fishermen Stewardship Association.
All right. Say that one more time, Mike. Give us the website address one more time.
New England Fishermen Stewardship Association.com.
All right.
And you'll have all the information about what you need to know about what it's going to do to this coast and the real truth about this windmill project.
Mike, I appreciate you letting us know about this. And again, elections have consequences, folks, and there are so many dumpster fires burning, and this is a big one right now in the state of Maine. And I have to imagine that a lot of you love Captain D's. It's a great little seafood place. And Long John Silver's and Red Lobster, if there are any left. And the reality here is that all of this is in jeopardy because of the policies of the Democrats. Now, here's my concern. Fine, they're going to kill off the lobster industry. You got Kamala out there saying she doesn't want us eating cheeseburgers anymore. What are we going to be, a vegetarian country? What kind of life is that, America? Jeez, Lou. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to our good buddy Joe from Ella J. Joe, what's going on?
God, you're great. Listen, we're really fired up down here in Ella J. Tomorrow, the Trump bus is coming to Pooh's Barbecue from 10 until 6. We got everybody fired up, and I still think that your radio show is going to help us win a huge landslide. And golly bum, if we can't beat the very liberal Kamala, something's really wrong, Todd. I'm convinced it'll be a huge landslide.
All right, hold on, Joe. You're telling me the Trump bus is going to be at Pooh's Barbecue in LJ,
right,
Georgia?
Yes, sir. From 10 o'clock in the morning till 6.
Wow. Fast. All right. Who's going to be on the bus? Do we know who's coming to town?
Well, the guy who owns it, Danny Hamilton, and probably some other people. What we're working on is trying to get Trump himself to come in the bus, let them go to Washington and pick him up and bring him to the barbecue and then take him back to Atlanta, and then he can catch a plane home. But that's what we're working on. But anyway, people down here in LJ or Gilmer County really fired up. I predict Trump will win 85% of the vote in our county. They're really fired up. And, of course, the Trump bus.
Just 85%?
8 hours. Yeah. Nice. And that's going to really help, too. But, golly bum, we're for free enterprise and capitalism down here in LJ. And you know what the others are for. They're for communism. Don't you agree?
and they're anti-meat. I hate them. Joe, we got to run. That's good news. So, folks, head over to Poole's Barbecue. While you are there, be sure to get yourself photographed with the Todd Starnes Pig. I'm one of the honorary. What do they call them? I'm on the Pig Hall of Fame. Am I a pig recipient? I don't know. What am I, a pig?
I don't think this is coming out the way that you meant.
No, all right, hold up.
The whole team is laughing.
I am on the Pig Hill of Fame at Poole's Barbecue. They have a giant hill, and they have these wooden pig cutouts, a silhouette of a pig, and you have your name on it.
Was that flattery, or are they?
It's a great honor.
Wow.
This is like walking the ducks at the Peabody Hotel, being an honorary, you know, duck person.
Okay.
Duck master.
I'm just trying to protect you. The team got a little defensive over here.
I'm trying my best here. It's Friday. By the way, tonight, I'll be anchoring 8 o'clock tonight on Prime News again. They've really been using me a lot. I don't know what to read into it, but we're having a lot of fun. The numbers are great, and I hope you tune in and watch tonight. Mike Huckabee is going to be my special guest. It's going to be a really, really great conversation. So you're going to want to watch 8 o'clock Eastern. Then tomorrow on Newsmax, I am hosting the Donald Trump rally. So our coverage starts about an hour before the rally, and hope you tune in and watch there. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back to the show, ToddStarnes.com. Folks, head over to our store and get yourself some great swag, including a signed copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? All right, let's go back to the phones here. Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, our great flagship station. Black Conservative is on the... Hello, Black Conservative. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Good to have you on the show.
Well, I am the most erudite mind, brilliant thinker, and political philosopher when it comes to tweaking liberal Democrats. Listen, I got a question for you. You know, Kamala Harris made a statement last week, I think, about paper ballots, that she think that in this election we should go to paper ballots so Russia or Putin can interfere in the election. No one caught on to that. I'm inclined to believe that Democrats, once again, through these paper mail-in ballots, are going to try to hijack and steal the election like they did in 2020 when Trump ran. This, Republicans better, you know, get their heads out the sand here, because there ain't no honor among thieves. Democrats are crooks. They always engage in election fraud, voter intimidation. They do these harvesting of votes in these minority communities, and they just filling out those ballots themselves. And
Black Conservative, let me ask you, because you do have one of the greatest minds of all in our audience here. Are you sensing in Memphis that Black Democrats are looking now at Trump and maybe voting for Donald Trump?
I'm not inclined to think that here in Shelby County, here in Memphis, because most of them been hoodwinked and brainwashed by the Democrat Iron Triangle and the liberal the so-called liberal pastors and preachers in the city, they're just going to come up with some excuse not to vote for President Trump. Right. As of now, they're trying to use the 34-count felony as a reason not to, or they may claim that, you know, he's this or that, but I'm not inclined to think so.
Well, we've got to do something about that, and Black Conservative, that music means we've got to take a hard break here, so I'm going to have to let you go, but it's always good to hear from you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are all smarter because of Black Conservative and his incredible erudite mind. Thanks, Black Conservative. Hang tight. Hour two coming up.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Happy to have you with us. Benjamin Netanyahu wrapping up his meeting with President Trump at Mar-a-Lago. And There's an interesting story, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. So J.D. Vance is out there. He's on the campaign trail. Now, this is a guy who's only been in politics for a couple of years. And I'm curious to know if you believe he was the right choice for Donald Trump to make. And the reason why is there are now Republicans, and I don't know how many, but there are some that are actually going on record as saying that J.D. Vance has had a very bad week on the campaign trail. And look, I'm willing to cut the guy some slack because it's all new and he's going to make mistakes. He's going to have stumbles. That's just the reality of it. And especially for somebody who's only been in politics for a couple of years. So they're saying that Vance, if Trump loses, it's going to be because of his VP pick. And I don't believe that to be true. I believe that ultimately the VP pick is somewhat irrelevant, unless it's just a really, really bad pick. Now, J.D. Vance is 39 years old. He will be the first millennial to be elected if, in fact, they win in November. But anyway, he's had some doozies out there on the campaign trail, no doubt about that. But anyway, I thought this was interesting that Steve Doocy over at Fox actually brought this up to Trump. And Doocy actually asked Donald Trump if he is still 100% behind J.D. Vance. And Trump said that that he has no plans to make any changes. Tommy Lahren over at Fox, and she's also a host over at Outkick. I believe that's Clay Travis's outfit. Tommy Lahren posted this earlier today. I like J.D. Vance, but I'm not sure the calculation as VP pick checks out. It's going to be 3 months of replaying his past comments. It's not going to be easy to get around some of these. Sorry, just the truth. So I'm just curious, any concerns? Are you still on board the J.D. Vance train here? And I think one of the big challenges, and I will, and Kamala Harris has a very similar challenge here, is that where you came from, and J.D. Vance, you know, the hillbilly elegy, That is not the J.D. Vance of today. The J.D. Vance of today is a very well-educated man. He is a very wealthy man. And I'm not sure that he can play up that hillbilly part of his life. I mean, it was a part of his life, but I'm not sure that people would believe J.D. if he's out there saying, oh, I just had some pickled pig's feet and, you know, some fat back. I don't know if they would buy that. So I think, again, all of this has to do with not the candidate. It has to do with the people that are helping him with his brand and making sure that he is communicating the message. And the message is not J.D. Vance. The message is all about Donald Trump. That's where all of the attention ought to be focused. And someone told me this a couple of weeks ago, and it's actually very true. If you've got to explain your comments, you have already lost the argument. And that's the issue with the whole childless cat lady's comment. Anyway, J.D. Vance was actually and by the way, it's a great line. I think what J.D. said was absolutely true. The problem is he did not, when he issues that line, he's got to offer a caveat every time he says it. And one time he didn't offer the caveat. But when you listen to the context, the original context, it all makes sense. Cut number 9.
Now let me do the necessary throat clearing because I do think it's important. Look, a lot of people are unable to have kids for very complicated and important reasons. There are, I know, you know, good friends of mine who have struggled to find the right girl, find the right guy. There are people, of course, for biological reasons, medical reasons, that can't have children. The target of these remarks is not them. It's important to point that out. There have always been people like that who, even though they would like to have kids, unable to have them. Let's set them to the side.
All right. And so that was the original context of his remark. So he wasn't talking about just everybody, because he's right. There are some people that just can't have kids. But he's talking about the people who are intentional about it. And J.D. also argued for a higher tax rate on childless Americans. He did that during a 2021 interview. So people like, I don't know, our guys here on the team, you guys don't have kids right now, so J.D. would want to tax you at a higher rate than Americans who do have children. Well, I'm sure that's a very Republican attitude. So anyway, all that to say, give it some time. And look, Trump is pretty pragmatic about things. And if it's not working, it's not working. But again, people are not going out there and voting for a vice presidential candidate. They're voting for Donald J. Trump. That's what they're doing. J.D. Vance's only job is to be a vicious attack dog and protecting the presidential candidate. That's what his job is out there. And by the way, Sarah Palin did a heck of a job. This is the one anomaly. And I know this because I covered that campaign. I was there and I saw it with my own eyes. If Sarah Palin had not been the pick for John McCain, John McCain would have been beaten in that race worse than Walter Mondale was when he went up against Ronald Reagan. That's how bad that race would have been. Sarah Palin actually did impact that presidential race, and many of you remember that. I mean, it was unbelievable. More people were coming out to see Sarah Palin than were coming out to see John McCain during that election cycle. That was the anomaly here. But again, let Donald Trump be Donald Trump, and J.D. Vance, his only job here is not about J.D. Vance. It's not about him. It's about protecting and defending the president and his record. That's it. So I would say to Ducey and Laren and all the others, give it some time here. I don't think now is not the time to panic. That being said, they do need to pull him aside and say, hey, look, we got to work on this. We got to work on that. By the way, Kamala Harris has yet to announce her VP pick. We're getting word from Kevin Kiley, who's a friend of this program. He's a congressman out in Southern California. Kiley says that Gavin Newsom is being offered a cabinet position in a Harris administration. Hear me on this. Kamala Harris will be one of the most dangerous presidents in American history if she's elected. That's how radical her policies and her beliefs are. She is out there on the record as saying that everybody should be treated with equity. Cut 14.
It has to be about a goal of saying everybody should end up in the same place. And since we didn't start in the same place, some folks might need more. equitable distribution, giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests often everybody should get the same thing. Well, that often assumes everybody started out in the same place, as opposed to equity, which is everyone should end up in the same place. And if you then understand not everybody started out in the same place, you understand some people need more. So we all end up in the same place, right? We are proud of the fact that equity is one of our guiding principles. Proud of the fact that we understand equality is important, but not everybody starts out on the same base. We see that people in our country are having an experience that is not equal. So when we talk about the work we are doing here together, it is recognizing that and being guided by this principle of what we must do in the spirit and in the interest of equity. To put equity firmly at the center of our economic policy. But no, if you look at the reality of who will benefit from certain policies, when you take into account that they're not starting at the same place and they're not starting on equal footing, it will directly benefit black children, black families, black homeowners.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what Karl Marx used to say. Equity is communism. Do you understand? This is where Kamala Harris wants to go. This was a montage of clips, so it wasn't one just speech where she made a mistake or maybe she misspoke. This is her belief system, and it comes from her father, who is a radical. Stanford University. He was a radical, so much so that Stanford University considered him to be toxic. Donald Harris was a renowned Marxist economist. This is the father from Jamaica, the Irish-Jamaican dude. The family had, 100 and some odd slaves? So again, and Kamala's going to have to explain that one, too. I mean, it's kind of an untoward thing, but that's the reality of it. So again, Kamala Harris was greatly influenced by her father, Donald, who was a renowned Marxist. Look at Barack Hussein Obama and his father, who was an anti-colonialist. And now you understand where and how that influenced Barack Hussein Obama when he got elected to the White House. Very dangerous woman here, folks. Every single conservative listening to this program has to get out, and you guys have to vote. We have got to stop this from happening. Okay, we're going to get to the phones here, 901-260-5926. I'm just curious, what do you think about the J.D. Vance pick? Was it a good pick for the president to make? This is the Todd Stern Show.
They're Trump's most diehard fans in the front row at every Trump rally.
You had to love the United States of America. You had to support Mr. Donald Trump's re-election.
Trump's Front Row Joes is the new two-part documentary offering the first inside look at the men and women standing shoulder to shoulder with Trump in the greatest political movement in American history.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Like-minded people following their hero all around the country, exhausting their bank accounts, camping out for days in the freezing cold and scorching heat to support Trump's re-election and make America great again.
The Front Row Joes are very successful, incredible people.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer, former White House press secretary and communications director for President Donald J. Trump.
Friendships I've made over the years as a Front Row Joe, it's probably the best part of it.
Don't miss Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. I understand that we have a brand new caller. Let's say hello to Dorothy in Oriental, North Carolina. Hi, Dorothy. How are you today?
I'm good, and I listen to you every day.
And Todd, the reason I'm calling, I'm an old lady, but I wanted you to know that the University of Alabama Special Library Collection is one of African American cookbooks. It was donated by my husband, a white man. I'm also white, because he felt that African American culture and history needed to be collected. And I just want your listeners to know that we help them save their culture. This African American cookbook collection is used all the time, all over the world. So thank you. If you just let people know it's there, and that the African Americans need to start collecting their own culture and sending them to libraries where they can be researched and honored.
I'm curious. Well, Dorothy, no, I'm very happy to talk with you, and I think that's a wonderful story. How did you guys acquire the cookbooks?
You know, my husband was a great librarian at Colorado State University, and it took him year after year writing radio stations to see if they had black cookbooks, going to black churches to see if they had black cookbooks. It was a labor of love, and it took a lot of time and a lot of money. But he felt that this was something that needed to be preserved. And, of course, he loved to eat. So,
well, there you go.
Yes, and we have some great friends. That cookbook has been published, and because I'm blind, I donated to a couple of African-American friends. It's a great published cookbook now, too.
And what is the cookbook called?
You know, I think it's called the David Walker Lupton Cookbook, Black African-American Cookbook Collection.
Well, I'll be. And it's there at the University of Alabama.
Right. It's their special collection at the library.
What a wonderful story. You know, Dorothy, for many years, I lived in New York City, and I was always missing good Southern food. And I was usually I went up to Harlem, which is a traditionally black area of New York, and I would always find a good small soul food restaurant tucked away, you know, just a couple of tables, not anything very, you know, luxurious or glamorous, just great food. And I remember walking in and I saw they said they had homemade sweet potato pie sign. And I walked in. I said, is that really true? Is that really homemade sweet potato pie? And she said, yes. And I said, well, I'll have a slice. And anyway, she brought it over. She says, you have to be from the South. And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. And she said, we don't have too many white folks coming into this part of Harlem. So normally when they do, they're white Southerners. I said, well, I just like good cooking, like your husband, Dorothy.
Yes, he was a good person, good librarian. Wow. I really want to encourage the African Americans to start collecting their stuff and donating it to libraries.
What a wonderful story and what a wonderful idea. Dorothy, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for listening to the show, and I wish you nothing but the best there in Oriental, North Carolina.
Thank you so much.
All right. What a great story. Thank you, Dorothy. You know, it's interesting, and Dieter, being the owner of KWAM, which was the very first radio station in Memphis to be integrated. And it was really sad when I bought the station. There was no collective history. This is a radio station that was very important in the development of the blues and R&B. Folks like Ike Turner and B.B. King and Howlin' Wolf, many great, great black musicians came through this radio station.
Mm-hmm. And if you come into the station, you'll see a lot of that.
So we try to, yeah, so I love what Dorothy's, you know, what she's recommending. And I think it's important for us to do that for all of our cultures. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're, I don't know, Polish or Irish or, you know, Spanish.
But now we're all hungry.
I could go for some sweet potato pie.
Yeah. By the way, Todd, you've been getting tomatoes in mass sent to the station.
Oh, my word.
Do you want to retract? I mean, we don't have enough room for all these tomatoes people are dropping off.
I'm not retracting anything. I will be eating. I had the best tomato sandwich this week, and I just want to say thank you to Commissioner Amber Mills of the Shelby County. She's one of our Shelby County commissioners. Here is one of the most powerful Republicans in the entire Memphis, all of West Tennessee. And she brought over a giant bag filled with delicious, ripe tomatoes. Mm. I think they were Ripley tomatoes. And those are the best in West Tennessee. Those are just delicious, juicy. And I got myself a big old thing of white bread, got some mayonnaise, some blue plate mayonnaise, and had myself a good old tomato sandwich for supper.
I'm ashamed. You don't smother on Miracle Whip?
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
You don't like Miracle Whip?
Go stand in the corner. How dare you?
No,
how dare you mention Miracle Whip with real mayonnaise?
No, I am team Miracle Whip. I will die on this hill.
You may as well be putting marshmallow fluff on your sandwich.
That's the point. It's incredible. It's
disgusting. We're going to open this up. Ladies and gentlemen, is Miracle Whip mayonnaise? I don't think it is.
It is. It's better than mayonnaise.
You're from Pennsylvania. What do you know? I'm just saying. These Gen Zers. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926. We got a country to save, and now we're going to have to talk about mayonnaise so we can set Ben Dieter straight. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Are you Team Mayonnaise or Team Miracle Whip? We'll be right back. All right, folks, don't forget, tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, that's 7 o'clock Central, I'll be hosting Prime News on Newsmax, so I hope you watch and invite your friends to. We need to have a big audience tonight. Governor Mike Huckabee is my special guest. By the way, now you have an opportunity to actually purchase and become an owner of Newsmax, and you can do that by getting some preferred shares pre-IPO. You say, Todd, how do I do that? Well, it's very easy. All you have to do is go to the website, newsmaxinvest.com. You'll be able to see if you are first eligible. And if you are, well, they'll take it from there. Forbes magazine already says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. So we want to invite you to become an owner in the news revolution by getting some shares of Newsmax. Again, newsmaxinvest.com. All right, let's go to Vicky in Eads, Tennessee. All right, Vicky, are you on Team Mayo or Team Miracle Whip?
Oh, I am a Miracle Whip girl, Todd.
Oh, geez, hello, Vicky.
That's all I've known. That's what my mother, a good Southern woman, that's what she raised me on.
Is that right? So why Miracle Whip and say not like Blue Plate or Hellman's?
I've never liked mayo. I've just gone for the Miracle Whip. That's all I know. That's what I was raised on.
So deviled,
and it tastes better. It just tastes better on those tomato sandwiches.
Oh, she's a smart woman, Todd.
Be quiet, Ben. Ben knows not of what he speaks, Vicky. So hold on here. So like deviled eggs, I'm trying to get the lowdown here. Deviled eggs, chicken salad, all with Miracle Whip.
Absolutely. Tuna salad. Yeah.
I am fascinated by
potato salad. Yeah. Mm.
Do you put a little mustard?
Have you ever tried it?
I am not a big. I did by accident, and I'm like, I said, where's the Hellman's? Where's the Blue Plate? But you know, it's really funny, Vicky. The folks in North Carolina, we have a lot of North Carolina listeners, and I love our North Carolina people, but they will lose it over the mayonnaise. It has to be Duke's.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And well, I haven't had Duke's.
It's a little tangy. I'm not a big tangy person with my mayo, and it's got a kick to it, and it's good, but it may be an acquired taste for all of us in Tennessee.
Maybe so. It seems like if it was tangy, it would make me think it was, going bad or something.
You see, that's what I was thinking, too. But I know our phones are about to explode, and I will be put on prayer list across the state of North Carolina for... All right, Vicky. Well, thank you for that. Vicky is on Team Miracle Whip from Eads, Tennessee. Thank you for listening to KWAM, by the way, Vicky. We love you guys. All right, let's go to Cresha listening to us in Cleveland, Georgia. Hi, Cresha. How are you today?
Hi, Todd. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking my call.
All right, let's talk about the most important pressing issue facing America right now, Cresha. Miracle Whip or mayo?
It's definitely mayo. I don't mean to disagree with Vicky. She sounds like a very sweet girl, but I am a true grit
girl raised in the South, born and raised in Georgia, and it's mayo all the way.
Now, do you have a particular brand that you prefer?
I like Hellman's.
Yeah, that is my go-to. Typically, it's there. If our store carries Blue Plate, you know, I'll normally get some Blue Plate, but I'm a Hellman's guy.
I like the Hellman's with everything, like you said, with the chicken salad, deviled eggs, tuna salad, everything. Mm. And the Miracle Whip, my ex-husband liked Miracle Whip. I emphasize ex.
Good for you. That's a good reason to call the lawyer. So you divorced your husband over Miracle Whip. I love this story already, Crecia.
It was definitely part of it. It was definitely part of it. I couldn't take it anymore.
I love it. This is the best story of the day. Crecia, let me ask you a question. Do you have a copy of my biscuit book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl?
I don't have that. I just got your other book for my husband for Father's Day.
Oh, nice.
I do not have your daily biscuit book. I don't. I would love one.
Well, we're gonna send you one over there, and I actually have my recipe for a delicious tomato sandwich. So that's my one recipe that I included in there. There are many others that are great, but I tried to do what I do best, which is a tomato sandwich. So, Crecia, I want to send you a copy of that book. Is that okay?
That is wonderful, Todd. Thank you so much. And thank you again for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller. I listen to you every day if I can. And thank you for what you're doing and the word that you're putting out there for our country. And I just want to say God bless President Trump and God bless America.
And God bless you too, Crecia. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Ben's going to get your information. Ben, make sure you get that address right, even though she's a Mayo person.
Wow. So is that going in prenups now, whether you're a Miracle Whip or a Mayo? I agree.
I absolutely agree. I think that's brilliant. Let's go to Eileen in Cleveland, Georgia. Eileen, do you happen to know Crecia by any chance? It's a small town in Cleveland.
It is a small town, and no, I don't know her, but I wish I did. I was telling
Ben,
anyway, it's got to be mayonnaise all the way. And, you know, Todd, I'm from New York, and we didn't have some of the mayonnaise choices up there that we do down here. But when I think of mayonnaise, I used to be a Hellman's girl, but there's no other mayonnaise but Duke's. Duke's is the absolute best mayonnaise I've ever had, and I won't try anything else anymore. So this is coming from a Yankee.
No, well, but you're a Southerner at your heart, Eileen. So, and
I am now.
Well, it's
Duke.
So Duke's mayonnaise. It's got a really great, rich history, and the story of how it all started is just fascinating. And it all actually started, believe it or not, in South Carolina, not North Carolina, when a lady by the name of Eugenia Duke, who was a housewife back into it was like the turn of the last century, 1917, I think, if I know my history here. And she started making sandwiches with her homemade mayonnaise to soldiers during World War One. And the sandwiches were so popular, and the guys loved the mayonnaise so much that they were like, hey, where can we get this? And there you go. A mayonnaise was born.
Wow, isn't that something? I heard Bingo was born in Georgia, too.
Oh, is that right? Well, all right. I'll believe that until someone tells me otherwise. Eileen, is the gospel truth. All right, Eileen.
God bless you, Todd.
All right.
Keep doing what you're doing. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Eileen. All right, take care. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Bill in Jackson, Tennessee. That's home of Rockabilly and the Casey Jones Village. Lots of fun folks over in Jackson. Hi, Bill. What's going on?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Just happened to catch your show here, an opportunity. I'm usually out driving and working out of range. I have to go mayonnaise by far. And I'd like to point out also that if you look at the label, Miracle Whip does not say mayonnaise. It says salad dressing. So we're talking apples and oranges at the core.
You know, this is truth. You speak truth here, Bill, and I'm glad that you called in, because you're right. And maybe, at least with Miracle Whip, they're being honest with people, and they say, we realize this is not real mayonnaise. This is a dressing. It's kind of like, you know, I raised this issue years ago in my when I was living in Brooklyn, New York, Bill. They used to keep all the plant-based meat, you know, the fake meat. They used to put it right alongside the real meat. And one day I accidentally bought the plant-based stuff, and it tasted horrible. And so I petitioned the grocery store to physically separate the real meat from the fake meat. So maybe we need to do that with the mayo and the Miracle Whip.
Well, I know when I was in the Navy about 20 years ago, and they had the little packets out 24 hours, you know, not during main mess. But I think the Miracle Whip is actually will survive, will not expire as easily.
God. So if there's ever an apocalypse, you know, and if you really want a tomato sandwich, if there are any left, at least you'll have some Miracle Whip.
Just deal with it, you bet.
All right, Bill, we're tackling all of the major issues facing America right now on this program, so thank you for calling in.
Certainly, sir.
All right. Appreciate that. I knew this was going to happen, Dieter. I told you North Carolina was going to explode.
Yeah.
Let's go to Statesville. Jeff on the line. And, Jeff, I understand you are a, quote, big Dukes fan.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, well, switched over. I was saying when I called in that I was actually born in Canada and moved to North Carolina when I was 12. And so when I was younger, being up north, it was always Miracle Whip. And Miracle Whip is, like you were saying, you know, it's more of a dressing. But it has a little bit of a zing to it. So then when we moved down south, switched over to Dukes, and it's been Dukes ever since. And it does have that little zing, but it's not like it's totally different. It's just mayo, Dukes mayo all the way.
You see, I love, and here's the thing about, and I know in the South, and this, there have been several books actually written about this, Jeff, but the Southern states are all, you know, we seem to be really consumed, and we're like, I mean, we're very passionate about food and feeding people, and a lot of that actually comes from the aftermath of the Civil War, when we didn't have a lot of anything after the Northerners burned us out. And so, you know, there were not many provisions. So people would put, you know, put all their provisions together, and people would, you know, feed each other. And food became a really important part of our culture as Southerners. And but I love it. But there are some things, for example, if I'm eating a po' boy, I have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the person preparing that po' boy is actually from Louisiana and is using the actual bread, po' boy bread, which can only be made in Louisiana, in New Orleans. Otherwise, it's a Subway sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and Dukes is definitely a North Carolina thing. You know, when it, like when I make sandwiches at home, my wife's like, she tells me, she says, you put way too much on there. I'm like, no, I like a little bit of, tomato with my mayo sandwich. So it's a Duke sandwich with a little tomato.
Oh, my. There you go. All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for calling in and giving Duke's mayonnaise a plug. You know, they ought to sponsor this program, or at least somebody. Some mayonnaise ought to be able to do it. Or my favorite sausage company, Williams Sausage Company, up in the northern part of western Tennessee. By the way, I will say this, and again, since we're talking food here, if you do want some of the best sausage in America, you got to go check out William Sausage, and trust me on this, order the hot sausage. You're going to love it. It's absolutely delicious. Okay, let's hang tight. We've got some more Mayo versus Miracle Whip, but I do want to get a political call in here. Bob from Moorhead City, North Carolina, wants to weigh in on something our friend Black Conservative said a little while back. Hi, Bob. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Everything's great. Just got finished over at the sanitary with some of their hush puppies and that kind of thing.
The sanitary fish house.
That, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Oh, right. That's right. Good eating over there.
Right. Next thing, I won't keep you too long. Next thing, Duke's all the way here. It was a time back in my day we used that for butter.
When
really? We couldn't afford butter.
You just slathered the bread with mayonnaise.
I'm a, Yeah, with a little tomato on it, that wasn't hard to take it off. But I'm a retired Air Force Master Sergeant. I've been retired since most of you folks were born. I'm 90 years old, will be in a few months.
Wow.
And I wanted to talk with you, the conservative guy, he hit it right on the head. He's got a question there that I cannot get an answer to. I understand we're supposed to have all identification cards this time to vote, but I understand that there is some paper ballots being even fixed up as we speak. So I was wanting to try and get clarification on that if I could.
Bob, it may be from state to state. I know here in Tennessee, and I just early voted a few days ago, and I specifically asked for a paper ballot. And, you know, it took them some time, but, you know, I sat down, filled it out, and then, you know, physically watched them as they scanned my ballot into the machine. So it might be where you might want to contact your local Republican Party there in Morehead City and see what they recommend.
Right. Good idea. Okay, Rod, one other thing I want to run by you.
Yes, sir.
You know, I called you probably 3 months ago, maybe a little more, and we discussed the sales, the bad guy sales, I'll call it. And it's my understanding, and I don't hear much of that discussed anymore on any talk show, which I listen to yours 99.9% of the time, but I don't hear that discussed too much anymore about the sales that are probably being put together in this country as we speak.
You're talking about the terrorist cells.
Yes, of course, sir.
Bob, it's a concern, and I think the issue is, I think it's not that people aren't talking about it, it's just there's so much chaos and so much news that it's sort of been shoved down the list. But I do believe, and there was a report out yesterday or day before yesterday, Bob, that there are grave concerns not only of another terrorist attack, but there are concerns that they may try another attempt on President Trump's life. So, you know, again, I think we just have to be diligent and we have to be prepared for whatever might happen out there.
Right. Well, I'm sure you've heard this before, but things are turning very well down here where I'm at in North Carolina. A lot of people that were before, they were before was for anybody other than Donald Trump, and now they're for him. And I see many cars, I see a lot of cars that never ran bumper stickers before with Trump stickers on it. So that's pretty good news down here as far as we're concerned. But it's my feeling things are turning all over the country.
Bob, I'm excited about that, and I hate to do this, but we're coming up on a hard break I've got to take. Bob, God bless you, sir. 90 years old. Wow, what a great American patriot and a great military veteran. Also want to say thank you real quick to Richard Rhodes from our great affiliate in Hendersonville, North Carolina, WHKP, and he just sent me over the Duke's mayonnaise story, and he says they are the Patriots of Mayo. I love it. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, if you are a first-time listener to our program today, you're like, what the heck is going on here? I thought we were talking about Obama and Kamala, and you're talking about Duke's mayonnaise? Yes, we do. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about all the crazy issues of the day here on this program, and we have a lot of fun doing it. By the way, don't forget, you folks in Salem, Oregon, I understand tickets are going fast, so you want to go ahead and get in on this. Get yourself a pair of tickets to the Big Todd Stearns event happening on August the 7th at lunchtime. So you're going to be able to have lunch with me, and we're going to keep it pretty tight so you can get back to the office if you have to get back to the office. It's going to be at the all-new South Salem Bow and Vine Burger Bar, and the pair of tickets, you're going to get lunch, a delicious mouth-watering burger, an autographed copy of my brand-new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, and you're going to be able to hang out with me. We're going to have a lot of fun. Again, that's coming up on August the 7th in Salem, Oregon, kykn.com for event details. That's kykn.com. All right, hang tight, everybody. We got a lot more coming your way. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.